The Parshas Shoftim, which we'll read in Mirtz Hashem on Shabbos, we have a section in the Torah which is called the Egla Rufa. Ki matzei chalal ba'adama, we find a dead corpse, a slain person, he was murdered, and lo noda mihi kohu. We don't, at least at this point, identify the murderer. Yatzu zekeinecha v'shoftecha, the members of the Sanhedrin have to go out. Umadadu es ha'orim asher svivos ha'chalol. So they measure the proximity to from the corpse to any city around in the radius of the of that corpse. Maybe we could close the door. And v'haya ha'ir ha'krova, when they finally determine which is the closest city to this corpse, then they invite the ziknei ha'ir to bring down to a valley the eglas bakar, which means a calf, the arfu shomes ha'egla banachal, and they chop off the head of this calf down in this nachal. And then there's a whole process by which the zkenim have to recite a disclaimer. The honor of the omru yadenu lo shofcha sadama zevinenu lo ro. In other words, it wasn't that we were guilty because somebody came into our city and we sent them out without provisions, and therefore he started attacking people in order because he was desperate and he got killed. And as a result of this entire ritual called the Egla Rufa, which by the way is studied in the Talmud, does anybody know which Masechta I would have to learn to know the laws and all the details of Egla Rufa? Sota. It's all in Masechta Sota.
Sanhedrin would have been the logical guess.
Right. But Sota is a Masechta that's dedicated primarily to two themes. Number one, the theme of a Sota. Number two, the theme of Egla Rufa. Now, today we don't have Egla Rufa, although the Rambam codifies it in his 613 mitzvahs, Mitzvah Kuf Pei Aleph. He writes, Sivanu Larof es ha'egla, Kishenimtza b'derech, Harug, we find a Harug in the derech, V'lo noda l'mi hargo, we don't know who the murderer is. But we don't have today the conditions of Sanhedrin, etc., that are necessary for this ritual of Egla Rufa. So when we learn the parasha, what do we get for ourselves? What do we gain or take away from the parasha for ourselves? Is there a moral, ethical message? One of the famous Sfarim, which is written by one of the Lubavitcher Rebbeim, not this one, but I think it's the Mittler Rebbe, it's called Derech Pikudech. And the thesis of Derech Pikudech is that any mitzvah that we cannot fulfill, we don't have today the conditions that are necessary to fulfill that mitzvah, but at the very least we have to find tamim, explanations, uremazim, and all sorts of symbolic meaning to the mitzvah, kideshi lekayimus ha-mitzvah b'machshava, that we could fulfill that mitzvah at least in thought, and in emotion, in our feelings, in our behavior pattern, to internalize the ethical message of the mitzvah that underlies the mitzvah. That we have to take for ourselves. So let's take a look at this mitzvah of Egla Rufa, where we chop off the head of this calf and try to figure out what message can we get from it. And not only that, the pasuk is makpid. The law is very careful, meticulous, demanding that the arifa has to take place in a nachal, in a riverbank. Why? What was that so important? So let's spend whatever time we have at our disposal studying the episode of Yaakov and Yosef and his brothers. Yaakov sends Yosef on a journey. And that journey is meant to Well, I shouldn't say it's meant to, but it will expose Yosef to danger. I mean, everybody knows, and Yosef himself knew, that the brothers hated him. Now, what was the last thing that Yaakov was doing with Yosef before he sent him on that mission? That mission, by the way, would create a period of time in which Yosef would be separated from his father of 22 years. So what was the last thing they were doing?
Oh.
Father and son.
Right, they were studying the laws of wagons?
Well, not wagons, but Egla Rufa. Now, why do you call it a wagon? I'll tell you why. Because the Hebrew word for a calf is Ayin Gimel Lamed Hey, which is the same as a wagon.
Right, that's right, because Yaakov saw the wagon.
Excellent.
Right.
Vayagidu lo, the brothers told Yaakov, Od Yosef Chai, Yosef is still alive, Moshel B'chol Eretz Mitzrayim, he's the viceroy of Egypt. And Vayafeg Libo Kilo Hem in Lehem, he was very skeptical, he didn't believe them. And then, Vayidavru Elov is called Divrei Yosef, Asher Divra Aleihem, he was told, in other words, the brothers related to the father exactly the content of Yosef's message. And then Vayar Es HaGolos, he saw these wagons, Asher Sholach Yosef Loseis Oso, that were sent by Joseph to carry him. And then Vatachi Ruach Yaakov Avim, Yaakov went back to life, so to speak. He was restored. His life was restored. So Rashi says, what's the big deal that he saw the wagons? And you and I could have given many different answers. The fact that Yosef would send such wagons means that he must have been a very rich person or a person in high echelon in government. Not everybody had these fantastic wagons. But Rashi offers, based on Torah Shebaal Peh, a different interpretation, that these agolos, Vayaras agolos, was a symbol, a message that Yosef was sending to his father Jacob, that the last thing that we did before you sent me on that journey, on that faithful journey, was we studied together the parish of Egla Rufa. So the agolos here, etymologically, it's the same shorish, the same root as an egla, which is an egla rufa. So now Yaakov receives a message from Yosef, a hidden, so to speak, codified message. I am your son Yosef, and the last thing we studied together was about the egla rufa. That was the last parasha that we studied together. And we'd like to understand. First of all, Yosef is 17 years old when he gets sent down to his brothers. Yaakov Avinu is sending Yosef on a very dangerous mission. And keep in mind that the pasuk testifies that Yosef was the beloved, the apple of his father's eye. And Yosef doesn't even second guess his father when he gets the mandate. That's exactly what he does. Kibbutz, without cheshbonos, without calculations. Vayomer Yisrael al Yosef, father commands son, Halo achicha roim b'shchem, l'chavesh l'chacha leim. And immediately, Yosef responds, Vayomer lo, hineni, I'm here, I'm ready, I'm prepared. Lechna re'eya shlom achecha, v'shlom atzon, Veshivani Davar, and return to me and tell me how they're doing. Scout it out. This is the Yaakov who will bless the 12 sons at the end of his life, at the end of Vayechi, and each one of his brachos indicate that he has Ruach HaKodesh, that he sees what's the future of each one of the Shvatim until Bias Goel, until Bias Mashiach. And now the same Yaakov sends his son down to the brothers to ask how they're doing, find out if everything is with them, they're in peace and harmony. Hashem reveals to Yaakov all the future days, but this Hashem denies Yaakov. He does not know what is going to happen if Yosef is sent to his brothers. Ki Levi Azu, this journey, He be'etzem prayed the arucha shel esru v'shtayim shana. He doesn't realize, Yaakov, that he's sending away his son Yosef for a period of 22 years. How are you?
Hi. Made it. Thank you.
Okay. Now, not only is Yosef great in that he, without second guessing his father, knowing full well the hatred that the brothers harbor against him, he's willing to go down and expose himself to that danger. Because of Kibbutz Av, he loves his father, he wants to fulfill his father's very command, every mandate. But moreover, Yosef makes a decision that if Hashem put this into his father's mind and denied Yaakov a vision into the future, this is what he has to do. And he quotes a medrash that says that when Yosef left his father, he was escorted by two srafim, you know, high-level angels, but it was part of Hashem's plan that the brothers would confront him and do what they did to him. And the srafim would not be able to protect Yosef from the enmity of his brothers. And Misorer B'Yakov Regesh HaRuach HaKodesh Lilmodim Yosef, one thing he got from HaKodesh Baruch Hu, that before he sends Yosef on the journey, there's a specific parasha in the Torah that he, Yaakov, has to teach his son Yosef. Which parasha? Egla Rufa. Why? Why is it so critical that at this moment Ruach HaKodesh would envelop Yaakov and Yaakov Avinu would be motivated to teach of all parashas in the Torah to Yosef before he sends him out? And he's not, he's going to part with him for 22 years. The Ruach HaKodesh has it that he should study with him the parasha of Egla Rufa. There must be some message inherent in the parasha of Egla Rufa that's critical, a message that Yosef has to take with him. And this could answer our original question, what message are we meant to take ethically? How are we meant to be uplifted and inspired by the parasha of Egla Rufa when we don't have a Sanhedrin today and we cannot fulfill the parasha of Egla Rufa? So Murray, that's the point that you missed. What we emphasized here, the name of the Derech Pikudecha, is that there are many mitzvahs that we have that we cannot fulfill. Mm-hmm. But what we do have to do is learn and derive some sort of message from those mitzvahs. And we're going to be mekayim the mitzvah not befall, not in actuality in our bodies, but with our minds and our hearts and our ethics and how we're inspired. So what is the message of Egla Rufa? And why is it that it's part of the divine plan at the very last learning session that Father Yosef, Yaakov would have with his son Yosef would be Egla Rufa? What's it all about?
Okay. How did Yaakov actually know about Egla Rufa before the Torah was given?
So that's an interesting question, how the others knew all the 613 mitzvahs, one of which is Egla Rufa. Mm-hmm. According to one statement in Chazal, again this is a subject unto itself, Avram Avinu's kidneys became like two rabbis. That's what it says in Chazal. Nasalo klois kishnei rabosov v'limdo eskola Torah kula. Now, why the kidneys? I thought about this many times, so this is an hour discussion, not for now. But suffice it to say that the Gemara says over and over again, it's pasha pshat and a pasuk in Parshas Vayera, that Avram Avinu was fulfilled all the mitzvahs. The Rambam dedicates a whole chapter at the beginning of Hilchos Avodas Kochavim to the Mesoras HaTorah before Har Sinai.
So just through Ruach HaKodesh they learned about all the inyanim?
Again, if the Kloyos became Rabbanim, I don't want to call it Ruach HaKodesh. I have a different shot in what the Kloyos is.
But somehow they came to know. They came to know all the inyanim, including Egla Rufa.
All 613. Egla Rufa is number 181.
Because they didn't have a text
in the list.
They didn't have a text to study from. That's all I meant.
I'm not sure. It could be. For this, you have to learn the Parshas Drachim of the Mishnah Melech. They committed some of it to write.
Uh-huh. Okay.
In Shem V'Ever, they had a whole yeshiva to study Torah before the Torah was given in Har Sinai. It's amazing. And some say that Shem taught certain types of mitzvahs, certain categories, and Ever others. I mean, this is a whole... But I don't want to get off, because, as usual, we won't finish the Maimer. That's what I'm afraid of. So he says the following. What is the message inherent in the parasha of Egla Rufa? And why is it that Yaakov Avinu, when he gets the message from Yosef, that Yosef has not forgotten that the last learning session was at Egla Rufa, Vatachi Ruach Yaakov. It says that Yaakov was full of life and joy. Something of that simcha comes from the parsha of Egla Rufa. So believe it or not, Rabosai, tonight we're going to learn the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov himself. You know, a lot of people think that Baal Shem Tov was some sort of a, you know, just a preacher or a, you know, a grassroots kind of guy, but he wasn't a scholar. But there are some tremendous insights in the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov himself did not write them down. He was not an author, to the best of my knowledge, of any work. But his many disciples transmitted his Torah. So we're going to look at the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov through the eyes of the Toldos Yaakov Yosef. He was the great disciple of the Baal Shem. And the Baal Shem Tov says the following. I'm going to summarize it in my own English language. You can look at it in the text. It's on the left column of page 1. And the Baal Shem Tov says that if a person believes with full belief, with full total faith, that God is with him, then even during the darkest moments, when God seems to be playing, pardon the expression, hide and seek, and he's been this there, he's not revealed, nevertheless, God is going to protect him. Why? Because this person is totally dedicated to the faith that God is with him. God is here, God is there, God is everywhere, right? When God punishes a person for his sins, it must be, by definition, says the Baal Shem, that at that moment that God is meeting out punishment, he, the sinner, is not even aware of God's presence. So God hides himself, so to speak, twice. In other words, I don't mean twice in sequence or chronologically, but I mean to say a double, more profound kind of hester. One hester is where the great tzaddik says that even though things look down and they look, you know, it looks like God is away, he's hiding, I know and I believe with all the faith that God is there. But there's another kind of hester in which God denies the person even the awareness that God is aware, if you follow what I'm saying. That's a hester sheba hester. And in that double hester, the person now becomes totally cut off from his connection to God, because he's not even aware of God, even the hester. That's how bad the hester is. And at that moment, God could mete out punishment. But as long as it's a regular hester, but the tzaddik is still aware of the fact that God is watching him, is with him, then he will befall no evil. Evil comes when we get to this level in which even a person who's a tzaddik is not capable of sensing God's presence, of affirming God's presence. And this is what the pasuk means in the Tochacha, in Kitava, which we'll get to in, 3 weeks? Before Rosh Hashanah, we have to read it. It says, Anochi haster aster esponai. There's a double language of hester. God could have said, Anochi aster esponai. But if he would have said, Anochi aster esponai, then the tzaddik is aware of God, despite the hester esponai. But if God wants to, in a rebuke, in a tochacha, God wants to tell you about the terrible punishment, so God has to say, haster, aster. It's got to be a double hester. God is so much benistar, he's so hidden that even the tzaddik is not aware of God's presence. God is nowhere. That's what he thinks. Again, we're not talking about a philosophical thinking. We're not talking about some sort of analytic, intellectual thinking. We're talking about a certain sense. His sense is that God could not possibly be here, so to speak. And in that context, God is able to punish him. Because he's totally disconnected from God.
Is that a lack of emunah? Is that a momentary lapse in his emunah?
Again, if you're talking from perspective of guilt, meaning is he guilty of lack of emunah? I think the answer is no. Because again, this is all of a divine plan. But at one point he was guilty of something, whatever it is. I can't tell you, you know, where it is on the list of 613, but he slipped. Ain tzadik ba'aretz. You know, every tzadik is guilty of something. Now Hashem says, how do I punish him? I can't punish him because he's always aware of my existence. And that awareness of existence creates a protective edge that makes it impossible for God to bring evil upon him. So in order to punish him, God has to do a double hester in such a way that, you know, you catch this guy off guard and he's not able to even think of God's presence.
Couldn't a person sin and be aware of God's presence? Like an intentional sin.
Yeah, I'm not saying he can't be good, but what I'm saying is he can't be punished as long as he's aware of God's presence. That's the mechanical breakthrough of the Baal Shem.
That's for anyone or just a tzaddik?
For anyone. Okay. For anyone. Anyone at the moment that is aware of God's presence, he's protected by that awareness of God's presence. Now, since we're pretty short for time here, I'm not going to read through the entire text of the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, which goes on and on. So we're going to fast forward to page 2, and I'm going to shock, at least this shocked my socks off. I don't know if, I hope it'll shock your socks off, if you know anything about the Baal Shem Tov. The source for this Baal Shem Tov, where did he get it from? You won't believe it. It's from the Rambam.
Oh.
Now you have to understand to appreciate this. You know,
logical.
Rambam is the rationalist, you know, par excellence. How could it be that such a metaphysical statement that as long as I'm aware of God's presence, I'm protected from evil? How could that be attributed to the Rambam? So if you take a look on page 2, on the right column, he has long quotes of the Rambam. This is the philosophical work of the Rambam called the Moreh L'Nevuchim. And in the Moreh, the Rambam says in the third section, right? It's divided up into three sections. He writes, "Vehine nigla elai." It was revealed to me. This is the Rambam talking. Iyun nifla ma'od, a wonderful, incredible insight that was revealed to me. The asurubos fekos v'yisgalubos sodas alukios. It will answer up many, many problems and resolve many issues, and it will help us reveal the secrets of God. If you would have told me that this is the Rambam, I would have laughed at you. You know, this is April Fool's Day. Ooh, this is not the Rambam's typical approach. And the Rambam says, what is this thing that was revealed to me? This secret, this Iyu Nifla Ma'od? The Iskalibo Sotas Alokios? By the way, this is not the Rambam's language because the Rambam wrote it in Arabic, but in the translation that we have. He says that what is Hashgacha? What does it mean that God, divine providence, he's aware and he protects me and so forth. So what is that all about? He says, it's a quid per quo. In other words, there's like a mirror image. Kifishir shel bal seichel tiash gochabo. The greater the intensity of the seichel of a person, the greater and more profound is the hashgacha, is God's protection. Therefore, says the Rambam, ha'isha shalem basagoso, if he has a perfect comprehension or awareness of God, he never how do you say in English, hesek hadas, he never discontinues his awareness of God. That's a double negative. but in the positive, he means he's constantly aware of God. Is tiashkachacha botamim. There'll always be a protective supervision from God. But va'isha sholim va'soga shatifne machshavdim eloka k'tzas itim. Sometimes he gets distracted, and even though he's a great person, but his perfection in this awareness of God is not up to par. Meaning, it's up to par, but it's not perfect. Is then tiash gacha bo bi'es chashva belakolavat? Then the hashgacha of Hashem goes down, because again, it's a commensurate relationship. It corresponds. So it's like a scale. And it's like a mirror image, if you follow me. The greater the awareness of God, says the Ram, the greater is Ashgacha. God will protect him because he's connected, because this individual is right now connected to God. And he goes on to say that even if the person is distracted, Lo Tosur Mimenu Ashgacha Lagamre, God will not completely cut off his Ashgacha from his relationship. When is God going to remove his hashgacha, his divine providence? That's only from someone shelo yaskil klal. In other words, he has no understanding or appreciation of God's awareness of God. But if he's a believer in God, it could be for a moment he discontinues his awareness of God. So tonight Hashgacha Rahi, at that moment Hashgacha goes down. He says, Ein la isha hu hasholim basagoso bi'es isko bolamazeh b'sechel b'foal. Even though, let's say, he's a great believer in God and he's a great scholar and so forth and so on, but there are certain moments in time in which he gets involved in this world. He has to get involved in eating and drinking and making a parnos or whatever he's involved in. So he's not directly thinking in an overt way about God, but nevertheless he has this latent awareness of God. And therefore he'll have hashgacha. The Rambam says, "Ubipnei zeh yiralik yikol misha timtzeinu ra'ah miros ha'olam." Whenever you see someone suffering in this world, he may be a Navi, he's a chassid, he's a sholem. Lo matzu ra b'eis hashichcha ela b'eis hashichahi. The only time with evil will befall him is when he forgets about God. Again, he's a great prophet. He's a great chassid. Again, this is before the Baal Shem Tov. But despite it all, he has a momentary shichcha, and at that moment, the Rambam says, he's not protected by hashgacha elokis v'timtzu bo ra min haros. V'tiyah hashgacha elokis masmedes, there will be an unbroken chain, a continuous hashgacha of Hashem, b'mishe yigia lo shefa hu, hamizumon lakol mishe yishtadil lagia lo. If anyone who gets to the level of constant awareness of God, God will be constantly aware of him. And the Rambam means to say, V'atem advekim v'ashem elokeichem, as long as you're dovek, you're thinking about God, is chayim kulchem ayom, you remain alive. Which means, you're alive and well because God is protecting you, and God guarantees that you will not suffer any evil. And David HaMelech writes in Tehillim, Gam ki elech begeitz al moves, I'm walking in the shadows of death, nothing bad is going to happen to me, because I know that you're with me. As long as you're aware of God being with you, then lo irara. And that's the source of the Baal Shem Tov, this Rambam, that the Baal Shem Tov says, Kol zman she'adam dovek be'amuna v'shleimos, amuna shleima v'borei, lo ya'ara lo shumra, ela ava v'chibo. Now, based on these principles, we begin to understand what's going on here in the parsha of the battle between Saro Shel Esav and Yaakov Avinu. The Saro Shel Esav represents the Samoel, the powers of evil. We've discussed this in the past. Now, Yaakov finds himself alone, and someone is battling him, he's wrestling with him until daybreak. And at that point, Yaakov Avinu gets a name change from Yaakov to Yisrael. So we want to ask three questions. Number one, what is going on in Vayivasa Yaakov Levado? He was with his whole family. They were encamped. Why is he alone? Rashi says that he went back to look for Pachim Ketanim, that there were certain vessels that got left behind, and he went back to find them. But it's very strange, because immediately after Vayivasa Yaakov Levado, in the same paragraph, in the same verse, it says Vayovik Ish Imo. And it sounds like the sorrow shall Esav attacked Yaakov of him because Yaakov was alone looking for these small vessels. What is that all about? And secondly, we don't understand this name change. Yaakov had a good name. Nothing wrong with the name Yaakov. And yet, it says, Kisarisam Elokim v'manoshim v'tuchal, hence he called him Yisrael. Now again, the Pasuk says Sarisa. Sarisa means you grappled, you wrestled. Why didn't Hashem add his name, change his name to Sarisa? Today there's a girl's name that's very similar, Sarit. Okay, it's spelled a little differently. But anyway, he says, what is the name Yisrael? Why is he called Yisrael? And the third question is, The Arizal writes, no, actually, I'm sorry, this is not the Ari, this is the Baal Shem Tov himself. It's also in the Levi Yadishiva. And they say that the name Yaakov is Miloshon Ekev. Ekev is the lowest part of the human body, the heel. Mm-hmm. It's on the lowest level. Yisrael is on the highest level. Why? Because if you juggle the letters of Yisrael around and you pluck out the lamed at the end of Yisrael and the yud at the beginning of Yisrael, which forms the word li, what you're left with is a resh, an aleph, and a shin, which is li rosh. So these holy books, and it appears in many, many of the Sfarim, and now I see it also appears in the Ari, I wasn't misleading you, is that Yisrael represents li rosh. So what does that mean, li rosh? I have a head. Sounds a little bit strange. So let's answer all three questions with one fundamental principle. And that is the principle that we derive from the Rambam that was embellished by the Baal Shem Tov, that Hashkochas Hashem, God's defense and protection for a person, is all based on a person's awareness of God. What is Rosh? What does the word Rosh mean? You and I would say that we translate the word Rosh as a head. But no. There's a psikta, one of Chazal, that states on the Pasuk, Ki Tisa es Rosh, that at the beginning of Parashas, Ki Tisa Hashem commands Moshe to count, right, take a census. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Moshe Kol Ma Shata Yochol L'romeim es ha'am hazu romeima, lift up the nation, inspire them. Ki'ilu ata romeim, shenema ki tisas rosh b'nei Yisrael. It should have said ki tisa b'nei Yisrael, uplifted people of Israel. What does it mean ki tisas rosh b'nei Yisrael? Ein roshem shel Yisrael el HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The word rosh is a code word for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If that be the case, then we begin to understand that Rosh B'nei Yisrael means the God of Israel. Atem advekim Hashem Elokeichem chayim kulchem ayom means that if the guf is connected to the mind, and the mind is connected to the Rosh, and the Rosh means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the head is on straight, it's aware of God, then it's Chaim Kul Kabayom, Hashem promises you that no evil will befall you. However, if the head of Klal Yisrael is not Dovuk in the Rosh, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we apply the principle of Psik Reisha V'lo Yomus, that you've cut off the head, or your connection to the head, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and as a result, it's the opposite of Chaim Kulchem Ayom. The secret to connect to life is the Dveikus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The moment I think about God, I am connected to God. God is protecting me. He's giving me life. I don't have to be afraid of death, as we saw in David HaMelech, Gam Ki Eilech, Lo Ira Ra. Now, if you follow me on page 3, we begin to understand the significance of the name Yisrael. Yisrael is not Yaakov. Yaakov is from Miloshen Ekev, the lowest part of the human body. That part of the human body has no dveikus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not connected to God. But the name Yisrael indicates Li Rosh. Li means my head is connected with the Rosh, with God's head. And then I guarantee myself, Hashgachas Hashem, that God is Shomer Olav, God protects him, Berov Rachmim V'chasodim. But that Hasaga, that Hashgacha, is a result of the fact that a person is Dovuk B'Hashem. So Li Rosh means that if a person is Dovuk in the Rosh, meaning what's important for me is the Rosh, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I'm Dovuk in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then to the extent to which I'm not disconnected from that awareness of God, God is there with me, He'll protect me. That's called Li Rosh. However, if there's a moment in which I'm not Dovuk, if I have a moment in which I'm not connected, I'm cut off from the machshava, from the thoughts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's psik reisha. Psik reisha means the head is gonna be cut off. In other words, a person is vulnerable to any kind of destruction. So when David HaMelech says, Hinei lo yonuv lo yishan shomer Yisrael, the emphasis here is on the word Yisrael. God doesn't sleep. He protects Yisrael. Who's Yisrael? Yisrael is a Jew who's Dovek Tomid B'Bchinas Li Rosh. And he gets a Shmira B'Yuchedis. He gets a special protection from God. So why does the Sarosh Shel Esav attack Yaakov when Vayivaser Yaakov Levado means Yaakov was left alone because he ran back to try to repossess his vessels, his small vessels? The answer is that Samuel realized that at that moment, Yaakov Avinu's life is in danger. Because if Yaakov Avinu is totally focused on the material worth of his vessels, then he's not connected to Shechina. And at that moment, he's totally vulnerable. Now's the time to attack him. Vayivaser Yaakov Levado, he went back for Pachim Ketanim. And the very next part of the pasuk, Ve'yovek Ish Imo, he's going to attack him because now his connection to his thoughts are not connected. There's no Li Rosh. He's at the lowest level of Akev. Now's the time to defeat him.
And yet the angel couldn't defeat him.
Correct.
In other words, we're saying that if you lower your level of
awareness
of Hashem,
you're vulnerable. Exactly.
Here, that things didn't happen to him.
Why? Because Yaakov in his greatness is that what?
That is Yaakov.
That even when he's involved in Pachim Ketanim, he's still Yisrael. And that's why his name is changed to Yisrael. Because the name change, Lo Yomar Od Shimcha Yaakov Ki Im Yisrael, is because Afilu B'Shas Esek Bat Solas Pachim Ketanim, is the bottom right column here, Niskaving L'Shem Shamayim. He had no intention of stealing from anybody else. He had no intention of just enjoying the benefits of these objects. He wanted to use these objects because he believed that they were part of the divine providence for him to serve Hashem. So this was part of his makshava. If a person sees his possessions as part of his mandate and his methods and modes to worship and serve Hashem, then he's still miskaven l'shem shamayim. So that's the greatness of Yaakov. And therefore he shouldn't be called Yaakov anymore. Now he's going to be called Yisrael. What's Yisrael? Li Rosh. I am connected, I'm Dovuk in the Rosh in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore the Pasuk says, Ki sarisa im Elokim v'im anoshim v'tuchal. Why does Yaakov deserve this new name, the name change to Yisrael? Because sarisa. Sarisa means you were able to hold your own. And why were you able to hold your own? Because God protected you. Why did God protect you? Because you were never disconnected with Dveikus and Shechina. And this is what it means that Yaakov goes to sleep. And he dreams of the ladder that goes from Mutzav Arts of a Rosho Magia Shamaima. What's Rosho? That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Sulam, the ladder of Yaakov, represents Yaakov continuously connected to the Rosho. He's always b'machshava dvuka b'dveikus t'midus b'Hashem. And the next pasuk says, v'hinei Hashem nitzav alav. He wakes up and he realizes that God is present. What is the word nitzav alav? Rashi adds one word, but we never pay attention to a one word Rashi. Rashi says Hashem nitzav alav means l'shomro, to protect him. And why? Because since the sulam is the symbolic message of the fact that Yaakov is always b'rosho magia shamayma, he's always connected to Hashem without any discontinuity. Therefore, Hashem nitzav alav l'shomro. He will always be constantly protected by Hashem. And this is what it means when a person is connected to Hashem. Okay, now the next section here is fascinating, but I'm just looking at the clock. Let's do what I like to do. Let's put this next section in brackets, and we'll pick up the bottom left, and if we have time, Mirtz Hashem will fill it in. Let's begin to give another perspective on both Egla Rufa and Yosef sending the message of the Egla Rufa to his father, that this was the last study unit that we were engaged in. The message of Egla Rufa is that this individual who was killed, who was slain, might have come into the city and the Zakenim sent him out. They exposed him to danger. And the Egla Rufa, in its goal, is to get the Zakenim, the elders, to recommit themselves, to be very careful, and not to expose this passer, this sojourner, to danger. And so they have to declare in their commitment, in their vidui, basically, Yodenu lo shafchas adam azeh. What is the source for this statement? The Mishnah says in Sota, v'chi olsa alev ziknesh, alev, does the thought pass our minds that the Ziknei Beis Din was Shofchei Damin? They have to make a statement that we didn't murder this guy? Ela lo ra'inuo upatru below mazonis below levia. What's this all about? What could have possibly exposed this person to danger? And the answer is that there's a unique responsibility on Beis Din in every single city to teach. What is the ultimate goal of teaching? What is the most primary, most significant message that you can convey to your pupils, to the city that you're in charge of? You're one of the Zikdei Ha'ir. You're the Beis Din of that city. The answer is Lios Kshurim B'machshavtim HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'dveikus Tvidus. That's the message that they have to convey. That's what leadership is all about. To impress and inspire the people to have a constant, without any breakage, dveikus in Klal Yisrael. Apparently, if somebody was killed, it's because there was no dveikus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because if there would have been, he would have been protected. He became vulnerable to destruction, to death, as a result of what? The fact that the Zakenim apparently didn't teach him enough about dveikus. And that's what brought about Yodenu lo shofchas adam azeh, or in this case, shofchas adam azeh. So Yosef sends to his father a simon, a coded message, that these agolos represent the fact that the last parasha that we learned when we studied together 22 years ago was the parasha of Egla Rufa. Yaakov Avinu sends his son to ask about the protection or the peace of his brothers. Yaakov Avinu sensed in his Ruach HaKodesh that Yosef was going on a path, a long journey, and he needed a special shmira, he needed a special protection. He was going to be exposed and vulnerable to both physical and spiritual dangers. So what does Yaakov do? And here we're on page 4. Yaakov studies with his son Yosef the parsha of Egla Rufa. What message is Yaakov conveying to Yosef by studying with him the parsha of Egla Rufa?
Always be aware of Hashem.
Always be aware of Hashem. Why? Because what do we do with this Egla? We cut off, we chop off its head. What is the symbolism, the message of chopping off the head of this Egla? What's inherent in it? It's the message of psik resha, v'lo nichale. If you're not connected to the head, and the head, as we said, the Rosh represents symbolically God, then you're basically gone. You're a goner. You're too vulnerable. That's when Hashem is going to bring about all the punishments that you deserve, and they're very severe. Yosef knew that only when his father would hear that, despite the fact that he finds himself in Mitzrayim, which is the Erevas Haaretz, it's that's the hub of all immorality. And Yaakov Avinu would be overwhelmed by fear. What's going to happen to my son, Yosef? Because my other sons are telling me, his brothers are telling me that he's alive in Mitzrayim and he's leading a Mitzrayim. Oh no! Yaakov Avinu as the leader of Mitzrayim was no doubt, I'm sorry, Yosef as the leader of Mitzrayim was no doubt influenced by the society. We're always influenced by the society in which he lived. That's going to lower his level of Kedusha. And therefore Yosef tells his father, even before his father asks the question, I'm gonna remind you, Dad, that the last thing we learned together was Egla Rufa. Says Rashi, Simon Masalem, but Mehaya Osek Shapirish Men of Parashas Egla Rufa. You taught me very well, Dad, the message of Egla Rufa, of being constantly connected to Yisrael, to Li Rosh, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Dveikus and Hashem. And Vayaris Agolos, when Yaakov beholds the Agolos, and he reminds himself that yes, this was the last parsha that they learned together, Vatachi Ruach Yaakov. Why Vatachi? Vatachi is Atem Advekim Hashem Alokechem Chayim Kulchem Ayom. Yaakov declares, Vayomer Yisrael, Rav Od Yosef Bini Chai. What does it mean, Yisrael? Is declaring Rav, how great it is, Od Yosef Bini Chai. Chai means he's alive. Chai means that he's connected to the source of life. He's Dabek B'Shechina. And Vatachi Ruach Yaakov, now Yaakov breaks out in joy because he himself is reconnected to Hashem. Vayomer Yisrael, and Yisrael says, Rosh Li, Vatachi Ruach Yaakov. He understands that Od Yosef Chai, Yosef is alive. He's been protected by Hashem, by Hashkacha, against all the evils, both physical, material, and spiritual. And why? Because he got the message of the parasha of Egla Rufa. And Rashi embellishes this when he says, Vatachi Ruach Yaakov, Sharsal of Shechina. Yaakov, once again, was connected to Shechina. And that's the Ruach HaKodesh. And if this be the case, we understand that Yosef, when he said that the last thing we learned was the parasha of Egla Rufa, immediately Vayomer Yisrael. Yisrael is Li Rosh. That's the Dveikus in Hashem. Li Rosh is Rav Od Yosef Bini Chai. In Mitzrayim, there was no phenomenon of psik resha, of discontinuity. It was always Dveikus v'Hashem Elokeichem Chayim Kulakon L'chein Elcha V'Erenu. Now I could see him because Od Yosef Bini Chai. And now we want to answer another question. Why is it that the Egla Rufa takes place in the Nachal, down in the waters, the river? It says V'Arfu Shom Es HaEgla B'Nachal. What's the significance of this ritual of Egla Rufa Dafka in a Nachal? So the Arizal says that there are many names of God. I'm forgetting right now how many there are. I thought I saw it here, but now I'm not seeing it. Anyway, amongst the list, there's a name called Nachal. It's a name of God. And Nachal is notrikin for Notzer Chesed La'alofen. Right? Notzer is Nun. Chesed is Ches, and La'alofim is Lamed. That's the word Nachal. That's the name of God. So the Baal Shem Tov explains that what the Arizal had in mind is that on the Pasuk Amar Oyev Erdof Asiga Chalek Shalom, you'll find that there are five words consecutive that all belong begin with an Aleph. What is the significance and the special status of the letter Aleph? Aleph represents Alufo Shel Olam, the master of the universe. That's the Aleph Shel Olam. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's called the Aleph. Now the Oyev thinks that he could destroy Klal Yisrael. But the answer is no. Klal Yisrael are protected. Why? Because they have the five Alephs. They have the connection to the Alufo Shel Olam. So that even though they were overwhelmed by fear because the Oyev was saying, I'm going to beat the Jews, but nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a notzer chesed la'alofim. What's alofim? Alofim of mizmiloshen alfim, the aleph. God is going to protect the alofim, those who are dedicated to the alephs, to the name of God, to the awareness of God. Is v'arfu sham es ha'egla banachal. What was the problem here? We thought that maybe there was some sort of problem in which the leaders did not impress upon and teach the people, or this person at least, that he should always be Dovek B'Hashem, and that's why he was destroyed. So we have to give a symbolic message that the Egla Rufa has to be taken down to the Nachal. The Nachal is the name of Hashem, Notzer Chesed La'alofim. Who are the Alofim? The Alofim are the people who are connected to the Alufo Shel Olam. And the bottom line is that if we have the philosophy of Nachal, if we have the philosophy of La'alofim, then Hashem protects us and He guarantees us Notzer Chesed La'alofim. We'll open the door just to see if they're up to Meirav, but I want to see if we have another minute or two just to add the next paragraph. And he says that Nachal belongs to both Lamala and Lamata, which means Nafshenu Chiksol Hashem. We are sitting down here in this world, and we're connected to another Nachal, which is the Nachal on the upper worlds, which is the Notzer Chesed La'alofim. How do we connect to those higher worlds that will protect us? Notzer Chesed La'alofim will grant Chesed and protection. Is the answer is because we are dedicated to Nachal, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'arfu sham es ha'egla v'nachal. And if we are dedicated to the Nachal, then we are mischaber, we are connecting milamata lamala in both directions, we have a dveikus and Hashem, and in that merit, God will be mashgiach, He will be shomer, just like it says Hashem nitzav alav, Rashi says l'shomro by Yaakov Avinu, because His name is now Yisrael, Li Rosh. So Mir Hashem, we should all dedicate ourselves to the name Yisrael, to the Li Rosh, to the philosophy of the Egla Rufa, and hold on to our connection to the head, so we don't get beheaded. So we'll chayim kulchem ayom, and if we do so, then we are totally connected. God is totally connected to us, and we'll be zochet to the shmira, the protection of Hashem. Kein yiratzon. Amen.
Sure.
Okay.